Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, can you hear me, Sean Black?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly fine.
Okay, no, I have a new pair of headsets on. I just want to make sure. Oh, well.
Okay.
Thank you. Hello. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. What is this, a commercial for a cell phone or something? Can I hear you now?
Some of this happened on Blog Talk right now. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Hey, you know, cheap-ass Blog Talk Radio. Oh, well. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the king of king himself, the man with a plan. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have one, the only.
It is Sean Black back in the building once again. What is this, 152 episodes we've done so far. So, yay us.
Okay, somebody's counting and not me. I guess so. Oh, well. Before we get started and start to do what we do best, I'd like to thank everyone for tuning into the show. I know we say this like 1,000 times. I don't want to give out the numbers, but last week was, like I told Sean Black earlier today, highest listener show we had in a very long time. I guess gun control is a serious problem.
Our Father's Day show, which is we did a Father's Day show back in 2016, which was to this date. Was the hot, most listened to organic show, as they call it, on there, up until this past Monday show, which was listened to during the week, actually more than the other show. So thank you for the support.
Yes, I want to give a shout out to Spain, Germany, and other countries around the world that tune in. And how can I forget? And I'm very grateful for the panel that we have, Tisha, K-Dog, Max, Brother B, and Anitra, and other people that called in onto the show, made the show phenomenal. From the bottom
of
my heart, and Sean.
Don't forget Mika also.
Oh, and Mika, oh yeah, I can't forget her. Thank you all for making the show possible. And Sean, for 152 times, do you still want to piss people off or just take a break?
Why should we take a break?
Let's continue to piss people off. And unfortunately, Tisha cannot be with us tonight. She's a little bit underneath the weather. So shout out to her and get well soon. So damn you for making me get stuck with Sean tonight. Damn you. But
yes, you're stuck with me now. So the karma continues to kick you in the butt.
Yes, indeed. All right, before we get to our topics, in a couple of days, Black History Month will be over. Thank God. You know how I feel about Black History Month.
Yeah, I know how you feel about a lot of things.
Of course. But I also have K-Dog in the house. Hold on. Hello, K-Dog.
Hey, what's up? What's up? What's
hey,
up, everybody?
You two guys now, since we talk about Columbus Day and every other holidays, how we feel about it, that should still be celebrated, Christmas, Thanksgiving. As Black History Month, let's start with K-Dog first. You guys already know how I feel about Black History Month. K-Dog, do you still believe we should celebrate Black History Month or change the format a little bit?
Well, change the format a little bit. Listen, everybody has their month to celebrate. But however, when it comes to Black History, remember Black History as a whole. It's not just the accomplishments of blacks here in America, but let's remember the accomplishments of blacks all over the world. Black history is every day, not just on one month, not just in the month of February, even though historically it was established in the month of February that they honor Black History, but coming from my personal opinion, Black History is every month, every day of the year. in my opinion.
Okay, thank you. And let's go to let's go to Sean Black. Sean Black, please entertain me and put me to sleep. How do you feel about Black History Month, and should the format be changed?
Well, I don't know exactly how you would change the format of Black History Month. We all know the jokes that come along is it's the only month that's the shortest month of the year, so that's the one that African Americans got to celebrate all of their history. And when you try to condense 400, 500 years of history from between slavery and all the way up to the interesting things that have happened, inventors, pioneers in lots of fields between science, entertainment, technology, et cetera, 28 days, and if it's a leap year, 29 days is really not enough time. But if you have that month, it can be used constructively to inform and also to help people out so that they'll know that certain things were invented or innovated by African Americans. Song, traffic light, the artificial heart, all of these, a lot of these things that have come out over the years, invented, innovated by African Americans over time. So you got to keep that in mind for people to think about. But changing the format, I don't know how.
Why don't we change the format, like change it to a different month? Or, like, I know we're trying to talk about all the greatness that Black people have accomplished over the 400 years. But maybe, like, the way we've been taught in schools now, instead of talking about slavery all the time, you know how we always focus on the negative first. When we talk about Black history or Black people, first thing that you get taught in school is slavery. It's always about slavery, how we became slaves and all that stuff.
Well, and before you can get to an evolution, you got to have a beginning, so...
You do. And this is why it's always, excuse me, guys, for interrupting, but this is why it's important to teach not just the history of Blacks in America. You got to remember something. There is an entire diaspora of Black people throughout the world, not just here in America. Whenever you teach them Black history, oh, the slavery, I'm like, yes, slavery is part of it. But what about the great kings and queens of Africa? The great kings and queens of Ethiopia, Egypt, the Sudan, Nigeria, Kenya. There have been many great royal dynasties that existed thousands and thousands of years ago that people are not learning about. They only know about Black American history. You understand what I'm saying? You got to put in all of the accomplishments that Black people have given.
Also, to piggyback off of your point, even though when you hear about the actual month of Black History Month, it shouldn't necessarily, if you are interested in learning about great African Americans and, like you said, African tribes and the culture and the history of Africans and African Americans and Black people throughout time, the other thing is this should be a jumping off point for you to maybe go to the library, maybe go online, read books, read articles, do research, and inform yourself. So it's more or less not necessarily the beginning of the end, but maybe it's the end of the beginning, and you continue to go ahead and read and find out certain things, and then you can take it into your own direction as far as who you want to find out about, what you can find history-wise, what you can find and learn, and inform yourself so that you can enrich your own knowledge, especially there are African Americans out there in this country that don't know a thing about their own history. And it's not necessarily their fault, because it's a lot of what has happened and has been indoctrinated into society over the many, 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 many decades and centuries. So this can also help inform you. You might find yourself fascinated by some of the history you learned, both white and any other nationality that is interested in finding out about Black history, and you just might find something that may be trivial to you, but might actually be something that hooks on and latches on to you and stays with you. So,
okay. Well, I just want to put in this point before we move on to the next topic. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, the Hot Rod does not believe in Black History Month. Yes, I agree with both guys. Everybody should be taught about Black history, the richness, the poorness, the slavery, the kings, the queens. I don't believe in the concept of Black History Month because, well, you know, next month is Women's March. It's Women's Month, right? And there's an Asian month, I believe, too, after that. Asian month. I don't know what's that. But why we, number one, like you guys stated earlier, one thing, why does Black History Month is on the shortest month of the year? Let me take a while, guys. It's better that we have something than nothing. But why there's no Black History Month? Why there's no Jewish History Month or no Egyptian History Month? You know, I just don't believe in that Black History Month concept of it. So what I mean about the format, like, should we find different ways to teach the young people about Black history? And, you know, Sean brought up a good point about, you know, the past or the present overall. But in schools, they teach Black history, I believe, the wrong way. And they find ways to degrade Black people in some classes. Think about your history classes back then, the way they taught you about Black History Month. And when they talk about Black history, it's always Malcolm X, Martin Luther King.
Well, Hot Rod, I'm listening to your point, but would you mind if I give you a history of why they celebrate Black history?
This is a one-hour show, so keep it within 3 minutes.
Okay, we'll keep it in within 3 minutes. You know what? Originally, this was created, the beginning of Black History Month was in 1926, when the historian Carter G. Woodson announced the second week of February to be Black History Week, you know, because it coincided with the birthday of Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass, both on February 12th and 14th. Now, what happened next was that in 1970, it was established that the whole month should be done, you know, and this is what it was called in 1970 with President Gerald Ford, who recognized Black History Month during the celebration of the bicentennial of the United States of America's independence. That's how it all started.
Okay, so K-Dog, why we don't switch it to a different month, to April, to June, or July? Why? Because summertime, people don't want to focus on Black history? We want to go out to the beaches and do barbecues and all that other stuff? Why not January?
I'm always open
so
to Black history.
You understand that, but why it always has to be February? You know, why can't I just change it another month? I'm like, if we're going to celebrate Black history, we're going to celebrate our culture, our riches, we should do it the right way, right? But someone seems
right,
like we're so busy fighting other things, I think we're losing focus and we're at priorities. Like Sean
and,
said
and this is
week.
Why I say this about, especially for parents. As parents, it's always important to teach your children where they come from and where they're going. It's very important. And this is why it's important to go to the library, read books, do research, go to the museums, check out some artifacts. Because right here in New York City, you have the Schomburg Center in Harlem. And also there's another place in Harlem on 125th Street called Revolutionary Books that I've been to. Now, these places are very important, and that's why it's important for the parents. Please teach your children their history. You know,
okay,
you're the first teachers of these children.
I don't disagree about that, but like Sean said it last week when we all get about Black Panther, why do you think they put Black Panther in February? A movie that's making over $700 million right now. Let's think about that. Is a perfect marketing scheme for us. Oh, yeah, Black Power, Black History, yeah, our African roots. And guess who's making
important.
Money from us right now? There's a point, but look at the timing. Everything is about marketing. Everything's about making money at the right time.
That's
why,
the,
once again,
hey, this is
Black
big
Panther
business.
Is on February. It's big business, but
everyone
think about
knows.
who's making money from us? The white people, right? So who wins?
Well, all of our checks come from the white. Where does our money come from?
White
you know
people,
what I'm
but
saying?
We're giving it back to, but yes, the white people give us money, and we're giving it back to them. Think about
yeah,
that.
And also, let's not forget something else, too. Let's not forget that there was a young Black film director that made the movie. And on top of that, I found out today that money is going to the Boys and Girls Club of America. The money that's being made from that movie.
And the money that goes to the Boys and Girls Club from the white people, guess what? That's tax deductible, and they go get some of that money back thanks to Donald Trump's tax plan.
So well, we already know, in general, the main everything that goes through this country monetarily is going to end up eventually in the hands of white America. So that we don't need to even try and cast any, we don't even need to cast any aspersions in general as to why whatever is the case. Just leave it at that. We know that.
Exactly.
You have to remember, in between getting from point A to point B, there are going to be a lot of channels where that money and that attention is going through. And although I understand the cynical view that you have as far as the end result, the end game, we know that in between, there are going to be channels where there are going to be pockets of African-American business, attention, pride, that a lot of that is going to come in through, as we said, black filmmaker, black screenwriter, black director.
Right.
There are going to be people that work on costumes, designs, research, linguistics for language, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of that influence is black, and that's going to be brought into the lexicon, the attention. Now, there are a lot of people that have an argument that it's now quote unquote fashionable to be black. When you see a lot of white people that are donning the costumes, that are going into with the kente cloth and wearing African dashikis, et cetera, et cetera. But it's not necessarily an appropriation of the culture as much as it is they are fans of the source material and what is there. I think it's up to, after all that is done, the people that are getting into this to explain, or if they want to learn more about that, that they can go ahead and read and find out more about them. But from your point, Hot Rod, as you stated before, the end result is going to be the money is going into white people's hands from where you're coming from. If that's the bottom line for you, germane to this argument, then you're probably right.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
listen,
95%,
it's big business. It's the American way. That's how it is.
Yes. Yeah, but 95% of the time, I'm usually right. So let's keep that
I'm not going to go that
route. But I'm not going to go that route. But however, I could agree with you to that point, because let me tell you something. No matter what it is, this is the American way. This is big business. Unfortunately, you're not going to get your slice of the pie. You'll probably get a very small piece of the pie, but don't forget the majority of the pie is going to big business of America.
Especially
when
you consider that the African-American dollar in this country generates well over $1 trillion of money brought into the United States. Just think about that.
Okay. Well, let's go on to the next part that what I am right about. Well, a couple of days ago, I called Sean Black up, and I told him we talk about the news, the school, the CNN rally about the gun control and all that stuff. And it's funny how this, once again, this great gun control debate will go on probably forever and ever. And I told Sean this, like, when I made the statement of if the students do something, protest and rally, you know, will it make a change? I remember when Sean asked me that question, and I gave an answer. I did call Sean Black back. I told him, like, you know what, once in a blue moon, I tell my mind, but hopefully with this situation, I am wrong. I hope that, you know, don't get me wrong, I hope the kids does make a change with gun control, but something needs to be done. But I don't see it happen that way. But if the kids continue to do it, they shouldn't give up. You know, it's going to be a long haul fight with the Republicans and the NRA. Now you got Donald Trump and some Republicans talk about what we addressed last week on the show about teachers carrying guns. Well, Sean, how do you feel about the rally that happened last week with Senator Mark? You know me, I don't know these senators are. Well, Mark Rubio, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Marco Rubio, yeah.
How do you feel about that? And once again, let's resurface the question now. Has you changed your mind if teachers should carry armed weapons, or should they have armed veterans teachers in the school?
Okay, I'll attack the first question. As far as the rally, the town hall meeting that CNN did, which is a complete juxtaposition to what Trump did earlier that afternoon with his own sit down with victims from, there were victims from Columbine, there were victims from other school shootings, mothers, fathers, relatives, friends, and teachers, etc. And as I looked at both of them, the one thing that I got out of this is the NRA is still 100% tone deaf. And what they basically did is when they sent Dana Loesch, who is the NRA spokesperson, who goes to different rallies, et cetera, and speaks their mind about, you know, listening to the questions. Now, the reason why I bring her name up is when you look at the CNN town hall, she basically took the brunt of the verbal beating from that 9,000 seat attendees of all those people that showed up, and they came off as we're gonna do what we can, but et cetera. It's the same old platitudes, the same old stuff that the NRA says, the same arguments that they've made in the 80s. We need more guns. We need to put the guns in the hands of the people that are crazy. They were very dismissive of the mental health issue. All over, if the kid wasn't crazy, he wouldn't have gone ahead and shot everybody. That's their contention. What all of the kids that were there and the parents basically ran them down. So that was expected. And I think Hot Rod would probably understand that too. You would understand the anger. You being a parent of two, you would understand their anger towards the NRA and towards the people that were there that were in attendance.
Of course, but like I told you before, they expect that, and they have some of the answers ready for those angry parents out there. Well, they've been through this process over and over, you know.
Yes.
It's like you said before a couple weeks ago, it's like talking to a dead horse.
Yes.
You could feel
and hear the frustration in their voice. Now, when you go 24 hours later to the CPAP conference, which was basically a Republican, the best way I can say it is, it's basically an assembly for the Republicans that was there. And there was a completely different tone that was taken with the NRA. The head of the NRA's name is Wayne LaPierre, and the spokeswoman that was at the previous town hall, Dana Loesch, she went and basically said, and she looked at the camera because she knew it was being covered by CNN and all of the other news companies, and she looked at the camera and basically said, the media loves mass shootings. They said they love to see white mothers crying. And they said I think her quote was, she doesn't want the killings, but you love the ratings involved. And in essence, she's also passing the buck and blaming the media and quote unquote crazy people for what's been going on with the gun violence, as opposed to basically saying there are too many damn guns out there. And the reason why they won't say that is the NRA has donated so much money to these CPACs and all of these Republicans, especially like Marco Rubio, who, as I stated last week, there were at least 12 or 13 Florida politicians in the last year that got well over $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 in donations, and probably a lot more over the previous years from the NRA. That's part of the problem. There's too much control from the NRA to these Republicans, and they're not going to do, at least what we on the outside have seen, the hard, heavy lifting to get the guns off the streets and out of the hands of people that don't need to have them. And to answer your last question, there is no way on earth that you're going to take a teacher who doesn't get paid anything, who has to go in and is sworn to protect and teach children. You're going to sit here and tell me that the government doesn't have enough money to pay teachers, but they have enough money to arm teachers who are sworn to protect children, and if push came to shove, are going to have to, depending on the situation, are trained to kill the same students if need be. If that is not a crazy, twisted, way of thinking about it. What on earth is wrong with this country? I don't know what other idea you can really have.
All right, so K-Dog, do you think when Donald Trump keeps pushing that teachers should be armed with guns, do you think this is a distraction of not working on gun control?
It is, but I'm going to state a reason. And Sean is, I agree with what Sean said. Let me tell you something about teachers with guns. The guns in the wrong hands can do a lot of damage. Teachers aren't getting paid enough. You're right about that. Now, some teachers, you got to remember, they're a little hot-headed. You have a disrespectful students, and especially now these days, students could be very disrespectful towards teachers. And a person's psyche, you can drive them over the edge, especially when you're cursing at them, especially when you're throwing things at them or picking a fight with them. Now, let's just say a student physically attacks a teacher, and that teacher has the gun and pulls out the gun and shoots that student. What do you think is going to happen?
Let's say to Kato's argument, the teacher's white and the student is black, and you know the media loves
that's where I'm getting to. That's where I'm getting to. See, this is going to create a problem. You can't put the guns in the hands of people who cannot handle it. What the government needs to do, instead of putting guns in the hands of teachers, instead of putting, I wouldn't even put guns in the hands of safety officers. What you need to do is to put police officers in these schools. That's the best thing to do. Because remember, police officers aren't licensed to carry guns. But listen. It is important. Because like I said before, would you want your child walking into a school and they know that the teacher's armed? It's going to create an uncomfortable uncomfortable situation for the children, no matter how old they are, whether they're in elementary school up to high school. It's going to make those students feel so uncomfortable because they're like, man, Mr. So-and-so has a gun. Mr. So-and-so has a gun. That doesn't put me in a comfortable position. Is that what you want your children to think? How the children's going to, how they're going to learn in school when the teacher is sitting there with a Glock in their pocket or a Glock in their backside? That doesn't make no sense. It doesn't solve the problem. It creates more of a problem.
Okay, but you say about having cops in school. At the day of the shooting, there was a sheriff at the school outside.
And he was a coward.
Shooter. Okay, this and is where we're going to talk. Okay, before
right.
I mean my statement, Sean, hold up. Why do you think he was a coward?
Do I think he was
No, Kato. Why do you think he was a coward? You say Kato say he was a coward. What do you
think
so?
This is a problem that I have with that officer. As an officer, your job is to know what to do in that kind of a situation. You're trained to do your job in that situation. There have been many police officers who have walked in, who bravely walked in on shooters with precaution. They knew how to get that shooter. It's either they would shoot the person in the leg or in the back. Now, that police officer, he could have went in. He was supposed to go in there and do something about this. But instead he says, I just stood out there waiting. I'm like, what are you standing out there waiting for? Go in there and do your job. You're a police officer. You're supposed to be doing what you're trained to do.
Okay. Well, all right, Sean, I'll give you that. I'll go to the caller there. I say my part. Go ahead, Sean, what do you think? Do you think the cop was a coward?
His entire job was to go in and protect as much as he can.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he didn't go in, it makes you wonder, one, if he thought that there was another shooter. Because remember, when we first heard about the shooting, although they said that all of the kids had been out of the school, there was still an active shooter designation on it because they didn't know if there was an extra shooter there. They didn't know because they said that the shooter tried to get out. If you remember, he tried to leave with the students so that he would get free and be able to get out and leave. So that's something
right.
that a lot of people are thinking about. We don't know what's going on in this cop's mind. And if he had on a campus, let's really be honest about this. You're talking about one armed officer on a campus with over almost 3,000 students. Now, should he have gone in? Probably. Should he have had backup come in? Yes. There should have been more help for the cop. But at the same time, what is, in all reality, one person with a gun going to do when you do not know who the shooter actually is, where he is, what other weapons he may or may not have? That's the problem. That's the
But a police officer is trained, but he's trained for that kind of crisis. All he has to do is
okay.
just go in and call for backup. You call for backup immediately.
Before I go to the caller, I listen to your guys' point. Well, number one, we don't know what exactly happened. That's, you know, I always say that first because, you know, there's too many sides of the story. But one thing we can agree on that poor Officer Scott Peterson, his job is done. We know that for a fact. It's over for him.
Yeah.
But to say that the cop was a coward or he should have done his job, the reason why I say we don't know what really happened, maybe he was not trained for that. Or maybe we don't know the proper protocol they have down there. So if you hear active shooters, do you go in without a partner? Like Sean said, without a partner. Check your speaker. You're going to have one cop for a campus or a school of 3,000 people.
But your first instinct is to call the backup.
Hold on. Get off.
Yeah.
Let me finish. We don't know the proper protocol. We don't know the proper protocol. Maybe he made the call in and they told him to stand down, because we don't know what is going on. Is your life before theirs? That could be their protocol. And when there's an active shooter going on, one cop cannot do anything. A cop with a handgun, with a kid, with AR-15, once again, there's chaos, there's panic. So what do you do? They probably told him to stand down and wait for backup and have the feds or the SWAT team take care of it. It's better to have 10 people gone before 50 people be gone. To me, I think he's just a fall guy right now of what's going on. But like I said, there's more to the story that we don't know. Should he have gone there be a hero? Not everybody's a hero. I'm sorry to say. We've been watching movies way too long. Maybe he has a... Maybe he was scared. I'm not really defending him too much. I mean, he was scared. Like, oh, listen, I'm not going there. If you got an active shooter, you don't know how many... We don't know how many shooters in the school, or we don't know where he was at. From our college, we have security officers everywhere. To have one armed guard in a school, and like me and the guys was talking about at work, if Sean was a shooter and K-Dog and I are patrol officers, and Sean happened to be at one side of the building, and we are one side of the opposite building, Sean will get to like 20 people already by the time we get over there. Do not be surprised if they told him to stand down or wait for backup, because we don't know what's going on because they're not used to this type of situation. And call us 347-210. Take it away.
Hey, what up, guys?
Hey, brother B.
What up?
What's going on? Hey, what's going
on, brother?
Patience. What's up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Patience,
so brother. I get the gist, I guess, what y'all are talking about. I'm doing a little bit of listening. First of all, I agree with Hot Rod. We fully don't know what happened with the police officer that was there at the school. We fully don't know what happened. Also, I will say that, yes, they are trained to do stuff like this. Like, you know, that's your job. You're supposed to do, or at least go in and assess the situation to see what's going on, so you'll be able to radio back to whoever's coming, like, you know, let them know what's going on. Not all officers have active shooter training. And to be honest with you, just like when I go to the range, listen, you can shoot at paper all day, but it doesn't mean that you'll be ready for the real thing when it happens.
Bullets are real.
That stuff is real. So I'm not going to fault him because, once again, I don't know the situation. But with this whole school shooting stuff, listen, man,
I just find it interesting how it just happens in certain places where everybody thinks stuff is safe. You know, you want to label one type of people savages, but yet on the other side of things, look who's really doing the damage. I mean, I just saw an article on Facebook the other day, and it was like, yo, I never thought about it, but it's true. This don't happen in the hood.
Nope.
It doesn't happen in urban. It doesn't happen in urban areas, and it makes you wonder why. It's a certain mentality and it's a certain attitude that America just doesn't want to address, and it needs to be addressed.
Well, like Mika said, Brother B, when you want to talk in an urban area, if you want to talk to someone, you talk to that one person. If I have beef with you or Kato or John, I will come to school and shoot your ass, and that's it. Compared to white people area or whatever you want to call it, they go through their so-called mental illness, their depression or whatever, and just take it out on innocent individuals for no reason. So let me be famous.
So is that the reason why we don't tackle the reason why
can
we
I
don't tackle
something?
Mental issues?
Can I say something about mental illness?
Yeah, but hold on. Is that the reason why we don't tackle it or we don't pay attention to it in this country because it's them? It's more. It seems like it's more them than us.
That's what I've seen like all the time. But go ahead, K-Dog.
Listen, about mental illness. Mental illness is a wide umbrella. There's different forms of mental illness. Here's my take on it, about this whole situation. Everyone's quick to cry on mental illness, but yet this kid has, how many times did 911 go over to this kid's house? And plus, this kid had a violent nature. He was violent. This was premeditated. Mental illness is when someone is, it's more than just a loony bin of someone having an entire conversation with themselves. It's a whole wide umbrella. There's bipolar disorder, there's schizophrenia. There's all kinds. Manic depressive, it's all there. You need to tell me this kid who premeditated, that's my opinion, I feel that he premeditated this.
So there's no mental illness if it's premeditated.
Exactly.
If you're mentally ill, then premeditating something just shouldn't, you know, be a part of how could you do that? But because you're mentally ill. So how could you premeditate to do something if you're supposedly, like, somewhat incompetent or intellectually challenged? How could you do that?
Sean, the premeditation of somebody, for a lot of people, you can look at it from this sense. Just the idea of doing something premeditated, it usually means that there's a great deal of thought involved in what was done. So that means that something was, although you can have a mental illness, that doesn't preclude you from not doing anything intentionally. You may be predispositioned to do certain things with a different kind of thought process, but that doesn't necessarily mean because you have a mental illness, that means you're going to be violent, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And as I've stated before, even though we don't know that what the mental health of this kid was, I've said this before, some people just want to watch the world burn. Is that this type of, for this person? Who knows? But we'll find out, because unlike other instances where there have been mass shootings, this particular person is still alive. Usually the case in other instances where the shooter has either killed themselves or had been, you know, suicide by cop or something along those lines. So we might be able to find out something going through with this.
Hold on, Hot Rod, real quick. Can I ask you something, Sean Black? Because Sean Black, you're like the ultimate diplomat. Like, you should run for some type of office, because, like, you make it sound good, and I appreciate that. I really do. Like, you know how to sell it. But my thing is this. What's the difference, really, between, and I'm sorry we have to go there, because I am going to go there. What's the difference between us and them? Why does it happen in rural areas and it doesn't happen in urban areas? Like, why? Like, because, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's interesting. Even the Vegas shooter, White guy, old dude, plenty of guns, up in the hotel room. Who knows how he got them up there? And he just started shooting at people at a country western festival, a country western concert, country music. What's the difference between our areas? Like, what's the problem? Rural and urban, what's the problem? I mean, because you know what? No one is saying that over in Chicago, all of them have mental issues. Because there's a lot of shooting. There's a lot of shooting of each other, but there's no shooting in the schools.
That's true.
So, but nobody's, saying that it's, you know, nobody says that it's a mental issue. It's just that, oh, they're violent, they're crazy, they're savages, they're untamed. But over in rural areas, oh, Johnny just lost his mother, and this happened, and his cat ran away, and his skateboard broke, and I think he just snapped because it was too much for him. It all happened.
Oh, my goodness.
The narrative of that happens because, as I've stated before, when you listen to the NRA and you listen to their arguments of why.
Exactly.
As I said, it's an old argument from an older time when in the 1980s, like the late 70s, early 80s, and even the beginning of the 90s, it was all about guns, guns, guns. Let me shoot my guns in the air to show you how big my balls are. Let's show you what kind of things that I can do, because we as a society have to show the bigger our guns are, the better we are. It's like a bravado. It's a machismo.
And I'll add that second.
It's the John Wayne
effect. In the 80s?
Exactly.
Do you remember back in the 80s, those of us who lived the 80s, I'm sorry to put everybody's age on the spot, but hey, I'm just going to be real. Back in the 80s, when people used to say, oh, man, someone's going to go postal, what used to happen in the postal office when number one employee gets let go, that person snaps and comes back and shoots up the whole damn place. Here we are now. You have a bunch of kids who say, oh, we're being picked on, or this kid has mental problems, comes back and shoots up a school, killing teachers and students alike. Come on now. This is serious. This is some serious mess. And how
but yo, Hot Rod,
yeah.
But K-Dog, with what you're saying, and Hot Rod and Sean Black are saying, my thing is, you know, we can talk about everything under the sun, but the big question is, how are people able to get these guns? How are able to buy military-grade weapons? See, no one's attacking Congress or the legislators about these type of weapons being available for sale. We're just trying to just ban all guns. No, just pick certain ones that you know regular people can't just get their hands on. A concealed weapon, for a handgun, you got to have a certain type of permit. But for most of these long guns, you don't.
Well,
no,
I want to add a story.
This is the problem.
Excuse me, hold on. I want to add a story to this. Earlier today in Brooklyn, not too far from where I live, you probably heard this on the news, an 8-year-old girl got shot in the head by a shootout that happened not too far. And you ask yourself, why there are so many guns in the street? You know, an 8-year-old girl in a van with her parents just got shot in the head because a bunch of idiots outside having an argument. They probably don't know how to fight or don't know how to handle an argument, decide to have a shootout. Sean told me last week, a kid in a school shot himself in the bathroom.
Yeah,
and
I heard
died.
about that.
You know, like, so Chicago have a strict gun law, but almost everybody got a gun, and there's kids dying every day, but you don't hear nothing from the NRA about that. But they say that the media love mass shootings. In other words, brother B, this world's screwed up. You know, this country has been so backwards.
Can I?
Yes.
No, it is. Because I'm going to tell you why it's screwed up. The NRA is basically saying to your face, and to be honest, and this is the truth, we don't give a damn. Listen, we're making money. We're getting money from all different corporations. We could give a damn what you think. The best thing to do
is to
You know, that's what they're doing. They're basically big business. This is where big business is. And on top
but you
of
know
that,
what's bigger
NRA,
than that?
Yeah.
But you know what's bigger than that?
Go ahead.
They're scared. They're scared,
yeah.
Man. Listen.
And
listen, I'm going to be
thing.
Straight up.
They're
listen, look, Mike Brown. Look at the Mike Brown situation. Look at the Mike Brown situation. You have a cop against a kid. So that kid was shot that big, that little black kid, that black kid was so scary. That teenager was so scary that that white cop had to shoot his ass. Well, let's just take
exactly.
color out of it, period. But we have to put color
into
it because
a
black, unarmed black kid is scary.
Hold on, kid.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Or a black kid with a gun is way more dangerous than, like, anything, like Godzilla or whatever. Like, it's a serious problem. So it's a fear factor.
What's a brother be point? What about Philip Philando?
Philando Castillo.
Yeah, Philando, what about him?
The cop was scared. He was scared.
Yeah.
He shot him because he was scared. He said he had a licensed gun. All he heard was gun. All that so-called training. Listen, in a situation when you hear something, all that training and everything you read goes out the window.
So
he heard
gun. Talk about,
and he saw a black man,
about,
and he got shot.
So talk about training, Brother B. Do you believe that teachers being trained should carry guns in school?
Hell no. What a teacher need to do with a gun? For what? Listen, arming people in schools are not going to change anything. That's not going to happen. What you need to do is those areas that you don't think it's going to happen, well, maybe you need to put metal detectors in there. Maybe they should start doing something about the laws in their towns. Or maybe somebody should really pay attention to the problem. This kid was on the radar, but everybody just let it slide.
Oh,
nobody
had
anything to say.
And this is for Sean. Thank you for bringing that up, Brother B. The FBI had warnings about this kid, but they were too busy focusing on the NCAA about athlete kids being paid. Sean, what is the problem with the FBI? What is the priority? You had a kid basically say that he's going to school to shoot people up. They pay him no mind, but they focus on kids who are not really breaking laws are getting paid by schools. What are the priorities in that?
That's a big, big, big question. That's actually
exactly.
a really good question to ask. And when you're looking at how afraid the FBI is, because you got to remember, the FBI is getting attacked from within, as far as different splinter groups with the FBI. You're also looking at where the FBI's money is going, and then you're looking at how it's being attacked by the president and other Republicans, as far as saying, well, this is, you know, what's going on with James Comey and the information that happened when he was fired and all the other things, all of these things that are happening. Now, the reason why the FBI got involved with the NCAA deal, which as far as I'm concerned, they had no business being in there. But the explanation is, the scandal that's going on with the NCAA is dealing with money crossing state lines, and it's federal, et cetera, et cetera. Your point is exactly taken the right way as far as the priority should have been put into this and into the Russia investigation. Those are much more important than worrying if a basketball player got an inappropriate meal from somebody or something along those lines. That's the problem.
I'm like, for something that's been going on forever, we all know athletes, they get their, you know, their perks or whatever. But at the same time, who cares overall? So I'm like, if something being investigated, should that be like his own firm or law firm or lawyers or something being investigated? Why the FBI?
The issue here is, and I'm not even going to take this into any sports realm or whatever is the case. We know the reason why the NCAA is doing whatever they're doing, because they have a lot of garbage to clean up on their own. When the feds are looked at as not doing their jobs, especially when we found out, as we stated, all of those tips that were made to the FBI and nothing happened. This kid had 39 calls against him in a 7-year span. And there's even video of a neighbor recording him firing a gun in his backyard and sending that in, and nothing happened. So there were signs there. There were warning signs in various places everywhere. It just didn't get taken care of, didn't get done. And the problem is when we're in a country where they glorify the gun and glorify the bullet even more, the problem
exactly.
with that is you don't get the responses that you need. Based on the fact is, as I've stated before with the NRA, they have too much money invested in making sure that the product that they push are the guns. And when you're talking about arming teachers and you're talking about arming everyone else except removing. They're talking about addition to the problem. What happens if one of those teachers snaps? What happens if a teacher fumbles the gun the wrong way? What happens if something happens and in the fray the wrong student or the wrong person gets shot? Then what happens?
Or in general, what happens if, oh, I felt threatened?
Exactly.
I felt threatened, so I had to react.
It's always the case. Brother B, I'm proud to mention that because that's what I was getting to, because every time it's always the same thing. My life was in danger. I thought my life was in danger. I thought this person had a gun. I thought this person was going to kill me. So by accident, listen to the story, by accident, the gun went off. Meanwhile,
okay,
the person's
well,
dead.
First of all, there ain't no by accident. It's either you
nope.
hit the trigger or
you pull the trigger.
there's no by accident.
Well, I want to go to the last topic before we sign off. This is Sean
okay.
and I and Kate off the wheels organ last night a little bit. For the second year in a row, a transgender wrestler has won the Texas Girls Class 6A 110-pound division. Back Beck, an 18-year-old senior, won the wrestling. Sean Beck believes that there was nothing wrong with a transgender male in a female wrestling division. Why is that, Sean Black?
Well, as I also stated in that text, the reason why I said that there wasn't a problem is that there wouldn't be a problem if we know that the transgender person was actually either taking the hormones to remove a lot of the male testosterone within them to make
it
physically a little more even, because as we've stated, and this isn't any sexist comment or anything, it's been proven physically as far as strength-wise, as far as muscle tone, bone density, etc., that the average male is going to be stronger than the average female given weight and size and height. So the argument is, if the transgender female or the transgender male is trying to become female, hasn't had the hormones and hasn't had the body develop, because the body is going to continue to develop over X amount of years with the hormone therapy, that proportionate or that disproportionate strength and physiology is going to be at a disadvantage to the girls competing naturally. And I think that's what the issue is most of all through that.
And I think that's the problem. They need to work on special guidelines about that. Once again, we are not attacking transgender, but it's like Brother B facing my daughter, you know. Look at his size. Look at my daughter. There's no comparison, even though there's a transition going on, but that transition takes a while time. So how do you handle that situation?
It's unnatural. Like, first of all,
the bottom line is this.
Brother B first.
No, I'm just saying your DNA doesn't change. Like, I'm not against anybody doing whatever they want to do with their bodies, but your DNA don't change. So if I'm a transgender and I want to be a woman, and then I turn around and I get into a fight and I punch a woman, would it be considered a girl fight? No, it wouldn't. And I'm gonna get charged as a male. That's just that. So you talking about the whole thing, the thing with the male wrestler who's becoming a woman, competing in a woman's sport. Like I said, there's certain things that just don't change. Your DNA doesn't change. I don't think that it's going to change you're going to take pills or whatever that's going to take away the strength. You know, I mean, it is what it is. Like, I've never been a woman. I know women, but I'll never be able to think like a woman because I'm not a woman, and then vice versa. So unless you were born a woman and you go through what a woman goes through, you can't put yourself in that category, because women go through a lot more different things than men. I just can't see it.
You know, I was having this conversation with a gay male, and he said it. You see, Brother B, the way he said it, he said the same thing. He said, listen, about the whole transgender thing. He doesn't believe in it. And mind you, this is coming from a homosexual man. He said that what he does not agree with is this, is that, oh, they always know what it means to be a woman. You can't say you know what it means to be a woman when you never had menstruation and you've never been pregnant. You're just in love with the glamorization of being a woman. And the same thing. How can a woman say she knows what it means to be a man if a man, you know, we have different body parts than a woman? So how the hell is it you're going to change? That part, really, it doesn't, it, you know, your male part will always be there. And as for the wrestler, you know, it should have been notified that they had a sex change. And I'm not saying anything against people. You're free to do whatever it is you want to do with your body. But it's just, you know, unnatural. You understand what I'm saying? It's just unnatural. Go ahead.
Sorry, Kate. Sorry, Sean. We just don't believe in that process, you know. I say what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong, but it's basically
right.
He's a male fighting females, you know.
Yeah.
And there have been many complaints about it. They need to work on a different process overall. I'm not saying he shouldn't wrestle or she shouldn't wrestle. I really don't know what to say about these things. That transgender shouldn't wrestle, they just need to find his own division. Because once again, he's still a male and transitioning. He's still stronger than, than most of the females.
Well, that's what I said,
there.
As long as
Where do you draw the line?
Yeah.
Where do you draw the line?
Yeah, where do you draw the line? I think that's what I'm aiming at. Where do you draw the line at?
And see, that's where the argument is going to always fall in, as are you being it's looked at is if you're going to go towards a transitioning teenager, whether they're trying to be female or male, and you're going to actually try and ask yourself the question, am I doing right by the kids involved outside of this transgender male or female, or am I doing right by the transgender male or female to the other kids? That's the happy medium that people are trying to find, and it's kind of hard to find that out when, as I said before, you're hoping for a fair advantage if the person has transitioned per se, physically and physiologically. Most people are going to look at it and say, because she even though she is still physically a male, that's the issue.
Okay,
yeah.
Quickly, we got 2 minutes left. Let me give this to Brother B. Last time on your show that you couldn't do, your topic was why it's so hard to date today or something like that. Why do you think it's hard for most people to date today in this crazy world?
Because everybody wants to Netflix and chill. It's a microwave generation. It's all about I want it quick. I don't want to court anyone. I want to taste the milk before I buy it. Everybody wants a sample. So forget dating. Dating is not important anymore. And it's sad because people really don't get to know each other. They just want to jump into bed and then, oh, what's your name? Oh, my name is such and such. How you doing?
Does it even go that far anymore?
Nope. I don't think so. I think,
listen,
who knows?
Basically, all I got to say is quick. Hello, how you doing? Let's get into bed. Oh, tell me about yourself.
Oh, I'll even call you one better. We're in like one of those apps, those dating apps. That's what most people are doing nowadays. People don't even go out to meet anymore.
Yeah, no communication.
That's the sad part about it, man.
So quickly, guys. Overall, we got a minute left. Are people afraid to be in relationships right now? Yes or no?
Yes, they are.
No, I think
people
are just afraid.
I think people
are afraid of rejection.
Relationships anymore.
A lot of
they don't know.
A lot of people don't even know themselves. They don't know themselves to know anyone else. You can't know
somebody.
You can't want to get to know somebody else and not know yourself. And that's the problem. People don't even know or don't even have a sense of self. So how do you
go
out
and
date?
That's an even bigger issue, Brother B. You're exactly right about that. That's the bigger issue,
Brother B. You hit the biggest point, and I agree with you 100% because people don't know themselves.
You need to love yourself before you love the others. I love myself every time I'm in the bathroom, thinking about you guys, you know. That's our show for tonight.
Oh, man.
This was an interesting hour.
Yes.
Man, interesting hour.
As always.
K-Dog.
And I say Sean Black for president.
That's right.
Sean Black for president.
Right.
Oh, God.
For president.
Sean Black for president.
The guys, thanks so much.
The pleasure was all mine.
And I won't take any. I won't take any donations from any gun lobbies. I'm good.
Thank
you. The hell with you. I take the money. I need the money, guys. I got games.